This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. Responsible people pay off their debts, and they do not agree to more loans than they expect to be able to pay back. But there is a debt we all owe to God, the debt of sin. That is disobedience to the law of God. We all have this debt of sin because none of us is perfect. Even one lie, one act of sexual lust, one small petty theft of something makes us imperfect before God, who has the highest standard of morality. So then it appears we are hopeless, and indeed without Jesus Christ to pay off our debt of sin for us, all of humanity would be eternally damned. True faith in Jesus and his sacrificial death for us is required to make the sacrifice of Jesus effective for each of us as individuals. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is only useful and effective as each person believes in Jesus and accepts that death of Jesus as payment in full for their personal, individual debt of sin. More on this on the broadcast today. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. You may contact us through our website at www.visionforchristworld.com. Our Vision for Christ World programs are recorded for later broadcast, but at the time I am recording this, it is the week before Easter, known by many Christians as Resurrection Sunday. This is where Christians take special care to honor and remember the tremendous sacrifice for sins made by Christ on their behalf as each person individually believes and trusts in Jesus to take away their sins, which pays their debt of sin they owe to God. We could never pay back God for our sins. We have nothing worthwhile to give God. So God sent his only Son, Jesus, to pay the debt we could never pay, so that by faith in Jesus, we could have eternal life. Christ suffered greatly and died a horrible death for those who believe. Christ never did anything wrong, ever. So he alone is the perfect sacrifice for the sins of people. In the Bible in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, we read this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." Matthew 20:28 tells us that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 5:21 explains it like this: "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." 1 Peter 2:24 puts the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in these terms: "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed spiritually from sin." Then in 1 Peter 3:18, we read these words from the Bible: "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death." To explain further, I will read excerpted portions of the gospel story found in Matthew chapters 27 and 28. "When it was early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to execute him. They tied him up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said, 'You say so.' But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not respond. Then Pilate said to him, "Don't you hear how many charges they are bringing against you?" But he did not answer even one accusation, so that the governor was quite amazed. During the feast, the governor was accustomed to release one prisoner to the crowd, whomever they wanted. At that time, they had in custody a notorious prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So, after they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Christ?" But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they cried out, "Barabbas!" Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all shouted, "Crucify him!" He asked, "Why? What wrong has he done?" But they shouted more insistently, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but that instead a riot was starting, he took some water, washed his hands before the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. You take care of it yourselves." In reply, all the people said, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after he had Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's residence and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe around him, and after braiding a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and kneeling down before him, they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the staff and struck him repeatedly on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Now from noon until 3, darkness came over all the land. About 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Just then, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split apart, and tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had died were raised. They came out of the tombs after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were extremely terrified and said, "Truly, this one was the Son of God." Many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and given him support were also there, watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. The next day, which is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees assembled before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while that deceiver was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give orders to secure the tomb until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal his body and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "Take a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can." So they went with the soldiers of the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Now after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were shaken and became like dead men because they were afraid of him. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them, saying, "Greetings." They came to him, held on to his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. And they had assembled with the elders and formed a plan. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came at night and stole his body while we were asleep.' If this matter is heard before the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is told among the Jews to this day. So the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins. Honestly, sincerely repent, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the web address of Vision for Christ World so you may contact us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done to provide salvation for people as they believe in Jesus. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe, on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.visionforchristworld.com/contact. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address, www.visionforchristworld.com, and search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from John 3:16-18. "For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned. The one who does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God."